Greetings, First United Methodist Church of Midland. My name is Alice Fleming Townley, and I am the coordinator of Mission and Justice for the Michigan Conference of the United Methodist Church. Thank you again for your passion and commitment to what we can do together as Christ's body in the world. Your Advent offering this year is for the Readers to Leaders campaign. Working together, Michigan United Methodist Churches can change the lives of hundreds of children in your community, across Michigan, and in Liberia. Readers to Leaders is a $500,000 campaign over 2 years. It was approved by the 2022 Michigan Annual Conference to support education, literacy, empowerment of children. We thank you for partnering with us already. I need your help to meet the goal, which we are about halfway towards. Gifts from your church support children in 3 ways, A, B, and C. A, half of your church donation supports the Liberia Scholarship Fund, securing a K-12 education for 100 Liberian students. B, the other half of the church donation allows hundreds of children to attend Michigan Children Defense Fund Freedom Schools for literacy and empowerment. And C, commit to creating a local mission connection at your church with a local public school, asking them how best to be supportive. Together, we can make a difference in the lives of children in Liberia, Michigan, and here in our own communities. Thank you, Midland First.
Good morning, everyone. We welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to this worship service, those who are here in person, and also those who are joining us via internet and also radio and TV, because we are here in the name of our Lord. God is with us. Amen? Amen. 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 As you can see, our sanctuary has been beautifully decorated. Did you know that? The Christmas tree, we bought a new one this year. And all the angels up there, they were repainted this year too, which means our worship team did a wonderful job. Let's give them a big hand. We really appreciate that. Thank you. And also, as you just watched in a video clip, this year's Christmas offerings will be sent to the readers and readers to leaders campaign this year. So we had a donation from our church for this campaign, but this is our first time the churchwide we are doing this churchwide campaign. Please prayerfully join this campaign. And there are a lot of needs out there, especially young folks, especially in this area in Michigan. And also, I'd like to welcome Hillary Ferguson for our Next Generation Ministry announcement.
Good morning. Reverend Townley gave us a challenge to partner with a local school, and I hadn't planned on doing this, but I want you to know Kids Hope is coming back to Midland First. So you'll hear more about that. Also, there are lots of kids here today, so I'm going to be selfish and mention that we're having a children's Christmas Eve service at 4:00. And if you're able to come and you're still a child, bring your baby doll. And we heard ABCs from Reverend Townley, and I too have an ABC announcement. The children prayed on September 3rd, an ABC prayer, and that has been published. And we are accepting donations in exchange for a book for a children's mission project that will be explained later. The word on the street is this is the best coffee table book out this season, so I'm sure you'll all want to get yours. And the all the announcements are important, but especially reverent is our announcement for our day of prayer on January 4th, about a month from now. 339 years ago, people gathered for a Wesleyan covenant service at 4 o'clock in the morning. Often there were over 1,000 people at these services in the days of Wesley's ministry in England. You have your chance to worship and pray through such a service at our next day of prayer on January 4th, 2024. There will be multiple resources. Work through one or more during your time in the sanctuary, and you don't have to arrive at 4 a.m. Arrive at a time best for you between 8 a.m. through the next 12 hours until 8 p.m. Due to the busyness of this season, most of the information on this day of prayer will be in print materials found around the church or on the slides. The next announcement won't be until December 31st. But that doesn't mean we are minimizing this day of prayer. We had 16 at our last day of prayer for the Charge Conference. No one regrets attending. Please join us to start your new year with precious, holy moments.
On December 17th, right after this service, we are going to have a time with our new member candidates. We're going to share our church's information, and anyone who wants to know what's going on at the church, you are welcome to join our pastor session right after this service, December 17th, at the conference room. More information will be shared with you in the coming Sundays. And today, I'm so grateful that we have our bishop, Bishop David Bard, with us to preach to us. So let us welcome him by applauding Bishop Bard. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Would you please stand up and let us greet one another? Okay.
In the days of exile and uncertainty, the prophet Isaiah cried out,
"Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you."
In the midst of our own encounters with uncertainty and upheaval and the longing of deliverance, Jesus calls to us, "Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come."
Surprised and by God, picks us out of our complacency. We light this candle as a sign of our shocking hope. May we stay awake to God's activity in the world as we wait in expectation that even now God is with us, working to restore us to the fullness of life with God and one another.
Amen.
Be seated. Indeed, Jesus is the hope of all the earth. Will you join me in the unison prayer on hope? God of hope, you are good always. In the tempest of the seas and in the storms of our lives, even the wind and the waves become still at the sound of your voice. You have guaranteed that we have hope in you, and your promise is sure, an anchor for our souls in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus because of your goodness and mercy. God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Christ has come and we await his coming again, We can boast in our hope in sharing the glory of God because of what Christ has done for us, knowing that no matter what the circumstances of our lives, Jesus, the light of the world, Word made flesh, gives us the promise of himself and that all things work together for the good of those who love him. Thank you for being our steadfast hope. May the hope that we have in you be poured out as an offering and as a testimony of your truth and grace to a broken and hurting world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
May the children come forward. Yay! Good to see everybody this morning. Very good. So, I'm going to need some help this morning. Can you hold this sign? Really? Yep, and hold it that way so everybody knows what to say. And Gracelyn, can you hold that sign? When it's time, I'll point to you when it's time. You can put it down now for a minute. Good morning. Oops, we have some friends. Come on down, girls. We're so happy to see you. This morning in Sunday school, we're going to study the prophets, and particularly the prophet Michael. Micah. In Micah 5, 4 and 5, we read, "And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be the one of peace." And today in Sunday school, we're also going to talk about faith and hope. So let us all pray. And when you see the word faith go up, please say faith with us. And when you see the word hope go up, please say the word hope with us. Creator God, we are filled with sadness. You remind us of faith and fill us with hope. When life is difficult, we know we are never without hope because we are never without faith. Help us to share our faith and with others so that they may have hope and faith too. Amen. Now, in addition to our children's blessing, it's Advent, and we have a special job. And our job is to build the Nativity. So, we have two things to put on the Nativity. Silas, are you willing to help? We're all going to go together. You can open that gift. And Teddy, would you please open this gift?
Yep.
And show it to everybody. A sheep. Are the sheep part of the Christmas story? Yes. You betcha. And a
cow.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be a cow.
I know, but it's
a yeah, I know. Okay, and so we're going to put the animals up on the Nativity, and we're all going to walk up there together and put the animals on this morning.
Our chant choir, thank you so much. Let us bow our heads and please join me in the prayer. Dear most gracious God, we give thanks to you in this season of hope, peace, joy, and love, remembering who you are and what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are so grateful that even though we have been in transition, you have protected your church, shown your goodness to us, and helped us confirm our missionary identity for your kingdom. We are privileged and honored to be your family as a foretaste of your kingdom on earth. God, remember the nations and peoples who have lost peace, lost their livelihood, and are striving for survival moment by moment every day. Wipe away their tears and hold their hands to stand up and live their lives anew. We especially pray that you show your mercy and grace to the people in Myanmar, Ukraine, Russia, Israel, and the Gaza Strip. We pray for peace, healing, and reconciliation. God, we pray for our church families who have lost their loved ones recently. Surround them with your peace and comfort from you. Help them find hope for your kingdom, where they can be reunited with their loved ones through Jesus Christ. Also, God, we pray for those who are in sickness during this season. As Jesus comes to us as our wonderful healer, strengthen their faith and lead them to experience your healing power. Be with their caregivers so they do not lose heart as they walk closely together with their loved ones. God, we thank you for sending us Bishop Bard today. Clothe him with your spirit, wisdom, and power, and let us hear your voice through him. Now we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we come to a time of offering. Please, take out our French pad and let us know you are here, with us, today. And we really appreciate your continued support and participation in God's kingdom work through Midland First. Please continually support the missions we have at our church. Ushers, would you please come forward?
Light of the world. bit of hope, oh come, Emmanuel.
Please stand.
Dear God, we acknowledge everything we have in our lives are coming from you. God, as a token of our love and commitment to you, we give these offerings to you, Lord. Please, God, accept these gifts and also accept our lives and use us and use these gifts only for your kingdom and for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you. Two scripture readings for this morning. The first from the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 1 through 10. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty has been paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. From the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. As is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, good morning. I greet you in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the peace and power of the Holy Spirit on this first Sunday of Advent. I'm delighted to be here with you. My wife, Julie, had hoped she could come with me, but while she would have loved to share the morning, she has a cold that she did not want to share, nor did she think many of you would want to share it with her. So she's home today, but wanted me to extend her greetings as well. Thank you so much for the invitation to be with you. Thank you for your ministry for Jesus Christ and all the forms that takes. Your mission, your outreach, your welcome of people, and your shared ministry with the Michigan Conference and the United Methodist Church throughout the world. I'm grateful for all of that. Advent. It is a unique season in the life of the church, unique and maybe even just a little bit odd. Advent is the 4 weeks, the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, and this year, as happens every so often, the fourth Sunday of Advent is also Christmas Eve. We prepare for the birth of Jesus. Yet, we know Jesus was born quite some time ago in a land now engulfed by war. Preparing for something that has already happened seems just a little bit odd. Of course, we know Advent is really about preparing again to hear the story of the birth of Jesus and to find fresh ways to welcome him into our hearts, our lives, our world again. O holy child of Bethlehem, Descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today as we sing. Advent is also odd because at its best, Advent is a little countercultural. In our society, we consider that time between Thanksgiving and Christmas a busy time. There are plans to be made, foods to buy, baking to be cared for, Christmas cards and letters to be sent, decorating to be done, gatherings to attend. We are really busy people during this time of the year. Advent asks us to slow down, to ponder, to pause, to attend deeply to the presence of Jesus in our lives. Advent isn't simply meant to mark time, but to be a spiritual journey, a journey focused on hope, peace, love, and joy. Hope. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings its tune without the words and never stops at all. So if I can ask you, just put a little bookmark in that Emily Dickinson poem for now. We'll come back to it later. Hope is one theme of Advent. It's the theme of this first Sunday in Advent. John the Baptist is one of Advent's central characters. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All the people from the Judean countryside and Jerusalem were going out to him to be baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. And then we get a description of what John wears, camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and what he eats, locusts and wild honey. The honey John ate was obviously not the only wild thing about him. If his appearance and diet were wild, so too could his message be. The one who is coming after me is more powerful than I am. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Mark does a nice job of condensing John's message. In Matthew and Luke, John goes around calling people a brood of vipers. A little wild. John would not then be the first person to include on your holiday guest list. He never dresses appropriately. He has dietary restrictions. He says things that are likely to make your other guests uncomfortable. We could associate a number of words with John: ascetic, quirky, stern, curmudgeon. Hope does not spring quickly to mind. But I want to offer that John the Baptist, this central character in the Advent season, is a distinctly hopeful character. Now, that's going to take a little doing, so just hang on. John is not afraid to describe reality, even when the reality is difficult. As I said, we get a hint of that in Mark, but Matthew and Luke elaborate. John said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree that therefore does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Not all was sweetness and light. And John was willing to point that out. The Jews lived in occupied territory under the control of the Imperial Roman government. Some Jews collaborated well with the Roman government, even oppressing their own people. Others sought the overthrow of the Roman government. And it was also a time of deep religious questioning, with diverse theological factions and various reform movements vying for attention. And into this, John arrives. A voice cries out in the wilderness from both Isaiah and Mark. Hope. Hope is not really hope if it is untethered from reality. At least hope worthy of the name Christian hope. We cannot look away from the harsh elements in our world, the difficult circumstances, the disappointments, tragedies, or horrific events. The Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann penned a book a few years ago entitled Reality, Grief, Hope, Three Urgent Prophetic Tasks. And those tasks belong together. We can't speak meaningfully of hope without truthful descriptions of reality. And we can't speak meaningfully of hope without acknowledging the events in our lives and in our world that cause us grief. Brueggemann offers a description of some of those difficult realities. He writes about, quote, the amorphous anxiety that recognizes in difficult to speak ways that the old world in which we felt comfortable, safe, and in control is slipping through our fingers. He says there are two large grounds for despair in our world that permeate our common life. One, it is clear that our society is based on an extravagant use of fossil fuel that is unsustainable. And two, our conception of the world in terms of a vigorous individualism has trivialized the common good and reduced societal needs to technical problems and has neglected the infrastructure that is indispensable to a viable common life. Okay, so Brueggemann writes a little bit like a scholar. But what he's trying to say is our current patterns of energy use, which drive our economy, do not lead to long-term flourishing. And we lack the capacity to think together about the common good because our sense of the common has eroded so deeply. In that latter category, I would cite the deep polarization we experience in our society. Deep polarization where too often political party affiliation has become an identity rather than an indication of one's policy preferences. Polarization makes thinking about the common good difficult. And the resurgence of racialized thinking and anti-Semitism, which divides people again, is deeply troubling. War rages in Europe, something many of us thought almost unthinkable. War in Israel-Palestine reminds us again of ancient unresolved conflict. Gun violence is deeply troubling. Our world is not the world we would like it to be, nor are our lives sometimes. A couple of months ago, I wrote about loneliness and meanness in our society. In a recent essay in The Atlantic, columnist David Brooks posed the question, why have Americans become so mean? He identifies factors he thinks are important to this. He says, we inhabit a society in which people are no longer trained in how to treat others with kindness and consideration. And in his essay, Brooks also makes a connection between loneliness and meanness. Loneliness, he says, is a kind of pain, and pain that is not transformed gets transmitted. People grow more callous, defensive, distrustful, and hostile. Loneliness. Recent research has correlated loneliness with physical illness and distress, with substance abuse and deaths of despair. Just this year, the Surgeon General released a report entitled Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. He cited research that indicates social isolation and loneliness are significant predictors of premature death and poor health. Lacking social connection is as dangerous as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Among the remedies offered in that report are strengthening social infrastructure, building a culture of connection, including cultivating values of kindness, respect, service, and commitment to one another. Sometimes we're lonely, perhaps deeply so. Sometimes we might recognize in ourselves a meanness that we would like to change. We see patterns in our behavior that don't foster healthy relationships. We find them difficult to break out of. We make a bad choice and then compound it by a stubborn resistance to admit that we were wrong and ask for forgiveness. Those are some of the realities of our world and our lives. And I can't say I've done a whole lot for hope yet. The author Anne Lamott once wrote one of the most helpful definitions of hope I've ever encountered. She wrote it in an essay, the context of which was telling a story about an Easter weekend she shared with a dying friend. Lamott wrote this: "Darkness is our context and Easter's context. Without it, you couldn't see the light. Hope is not about proving anything. It's about choosing to believe this one thing, that love is bigger than any grim, bleak stuff anyone can throw at us." Reminds me a little of Isaiah 40. "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever." Love is bigger than the grim, bleak stuff. You see, hope doesn't shy away from looking at the grim, bleak stuff. It's honest, and sometimes brutally so. And hope trusts that there's something bigger than the grim, bleak stuff. You see, the essence of hope is that things can change. Things can be different. We needn't be stuck in the grim, bleak stuff. And hope also reminds us that in those times when we cannot avoid some of the grim, bleak stuff, death being one of those, hope reminds us that even then we can weave the difficult moments into becoming more compassionate, more aware, more tender. I share that as someone whose mother died this past summer. And the reality of life is one of us was going to go first. One of us would be grieving the other. And I can't change that. But the essence of hope, much of our lives, the essence of hope is that things can change, that things can be different, that we needn't be stuck in the grim, bleak stuff. And it's hope that's at the heart of John's message. Things can change. Things can be different. You may not have ever thought of the word repent as a hopeful word, but it is, because it's about change. We can change direction. We needn't be stuck. One translation of the word hope renders it to change people's purpose, another heart's transformation. The theologian Douglas Odetai, in his book Hopeful Realism, wrote about, quote, "the great nevertheless." He said, "In a world of fragmentation, misorientation, conflict, destruction, nevertheless, possibilities for hope abound." Our lives can be different. We're not condemned to repeating destructive patterns of behavior that hurt others or ourselves. We trust that with God there is forgiveness, new life, fresh beginnings. In Jesus Christ, God frees, heals, redeems, and God brings us together in communities so that we can support one another as we seek to grow in grace and love. And our world can be different. Or at least we can work to make a difference in the world, even if turning the world around may take more than any of our lifetimes. Walter Brueggemann again writes this: "In the midst of near despair, the prophetic task is to articulate hope, the prospect of fresh historical possibility assured by God's good governance of the future." Friends, the essence of hope is that things can change. Things can be different, that we needn't be stuck in grim, bleak stuff. And change is possible because God never gives up on us. And deeply, deeply truthful descriptions of reality know that God is in the world, at work in the world even now, even in us, and even through us. Hope chooses to believe that love is bigger than the grim, bleak stuff because our hope is in the God of Jesus Christ, whose nature and name are love. And God's love is wild as a camel hair coat or a feather hat. You can take the bookmark out of Emily Dickinson now. John the Baptist is a figure of wild hope, proclaiming that the world does not have to be the way it is. Change is possible. Change in the direction of love. The world, it doesn't have to be the way it is. Transformation is possible. Transformation in the direction of love. God is at work, often in quiet ways, but God is at work to overcome divisions, to heal wounds ancient and new, to help people find new direction and purpose, to inspire work toward justice and the common good. God is at work in the world for love. God is at work in the world, in the hand offering a sandwich to the hungry. God is at work in the world, in the hand offering a cup of cold water to a thirsty mother. God is at work in the world, in the hug given to a grieving person. God is at work in the world when a second chance is offered. God is at work in the world when people stand up for justice and peace and offer genuinely new ideas to build bridges and enrich community. God is at work in the world in creative ideas to care for creation while we care for one another. God is at work in the world in the creation of beauty which moves us and deepens our souls. God is at work in the world when the waters of baptism are poured on a child. God is at work in the world when a life is turned around. God is at work in the world, always at work in the world, toward love, toward kindness and gentleness and tenderness and compassion and justice and connection. You see, the truest stories about our lives are not that we are isolated individuals, but rather that we're deeply connected in this God who loves and created us all. And because God is at work in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one whose birth we are preparing to celebrate and is coming again, we also remember during Advent, change is possible. And because change is possible, there is hope. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings its tune without the words and never stops at all. And hope is a man dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist and maybe a feather in his cap. And friends, we are called to be people of hope. We are called to share and live a message that things don't have to be the way they are. Change is possible. Transformation is possible because love is bigger than any of the grim, bleak stuff. We live with hope. We join God in God's work in the world toward love, toward kindness and gentleness, tenderness, compassion, justice, connection. Our hands can be hands of generosity and tenderness. Our hugs can be the hugs of Jesus for the hurting. Our willingness to reach out across differences demonstrates God's inclusive love. In a world marred by cynicism, we tell and live a truer story of hope. In a world where meanness seems the currency of the day, we live with love and kindness. In a world verging on despair, we live as people of hope. We are to embody as much hope as John the Baptist did. And here's a little bit of extra good news. You don't even have to wear a camel hair shirt or a feather hat to do it. Amen. Friends, Advent is about Jesus coming. And one of the ways in the church we continue to affirm that Jesus comes to us is as we share the bread and wine of communion. So we're going to do that this morning. Share communion together. We'll say the prayers of the Great Thanksgiving. There is a gluten-free bread available in the middle. There'll be three stations, as I understand it. I love giving instructions in a place you've never been, but we'll do our best. So I'm trusting you all know maybe better than I do how to come up and share in communion together, but we will do that together.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on all us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please come and let's share in communion together.
Come.
Did everyone who wants to be served get served? I neglected to say, I hope you all felt welcome to come. It seemed like everyone did, but we are always open to the serving communion to any who are in worship this morning. So thank you for taking that for granted. We ought not to, but we do. So let's pray. O God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you give yourself to us. And during Advent, we celebrate that mystery in very special ways because you continue to come again and again, give yourself to us again and again in ways small and large. But you give yourself to us not simply so our hearts can be warmed or our lives feel refreshed. You do want our lives to feel refreshed and our hearts to be warmed, but then you want us in turn to go out into the world to live more lovingly and justly. So may this bread that we've taken be the body of Christ for us, this blood be the very blood of Christ, that in turn we might be in the world, your people, people of hope and peace and joy and love. Amen.
Yeah.
So at one point in time, I thought I might entitle my sermon, Make the Church John the Baptist Again. But I thought that was a little cheeky even for me, so I went with a different title. But John is a figure of hope, deep hope. And we are to be like John, people of deep hope, to live in the world toward love, knowing that in the most unloving, uncaring places, we can make a difference. Go to be those people. And the reality is, the task of Jesus in the church isn't to make us John the Baptist again so much as to make us embody Christ in the world. Go in the power of God's Spirit to be Jesus for others, to love, to care, to show compassion. May it be so in the peace and power of God's Spirit. Amen.